began a message this morning on seeking rest, and we're applying this in two different ways: the sinner seeking rest in salvation and the saint seeking rest in everyday life. And I'm glad that there's rest found at the feet of Jesus Christ. We've turned again this night to Ruth chapter 3. For time's sake again, we'll just read verse number 1. I'm going to try to get through the remainder of this message. If I don't, then I've got a head start on Wednesday night. Amen. So Ruth chapter number 3, verse number 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?" Now again, I'm drawing your attention to those two words, seek rest. And I began a message this morning on seeking rest. So tonight we give you part 2 of this message on seeking rest. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the music tonight, Lord. I pray that you'll help us to be faithful to your word as we've come to this time of the service where we open the bread of life. And I pray that you help us now to say exactly what it said. Help us not to add to it or take away from it. Lord, I pray that you forgive my sins. Help me to be a clean vessel for you to flow through. I know you want to use this message. Use it tonight in a great way. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, in a world of turmoil and strife, people are constantly looking for rest. And this word rest here, again, means a quiet place. It means a settled spot. It means a home. Now, in context, we understand that Naomi is searching for a marriage between her and Boaz. But we're applying this rest in two ways, like I've already said. Obviously, we can apply this to those who are sinners who've never been saved, and there's an unrest in their heart and spirit, and they need to find spiritual rest that's only found in salvation in Jesus Christ. Then we who are saved, and we've already experienced the spiritual, eternal rest in salvation, every now and then we all find ourselves in a place where we need this rest. We need this peace. We need this settled spot. We need this quietness in our soul. Now, this being the case, let me just reach back and tap the first thing on the head. Number one, the first thing we noticed this morning was the preparation for this rest. And we saw Naomi telling Ruth that she was to wash herself. This is all in verse number 3. You're to wash yourself. You're to change your clothes. You're to anoint yourself. And you're to go to Boaz. And in the same way, this is all this morning. You can go back and get it if you want it on the website or order it. All this morning, we looked at, first of all, that is a picture of salvation rest. And just when we go to our heavenly Boaz, Jesus Christ, He cleanses us by His blood. He changes our rags to His righteousness. He anoints us with the Holy Spirit of God. Then we applied it to we who are saved. If you're seeking rest and you need that peace in your heart in a given circumstance, we saw that just what Ruth was to do, you're to do, we're to keep ourselves clean in the presence of Almighty God. We are to abide by God's dress standard, and that is putting off the old life and putting on the new, putting off wrath and anger and clamor. We all spoke about this morning. Well, I did, not all of us, I did, and you listened in on it, and putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we are to seek this, I'm talking about the spirit filling, being controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, that being the case, I give you number 2 tonight, and I'm going to try to get all the way through number 6, so I hope you are fastened in tight tonight because I'm getting ready to kick it into overdrive. Number 2, the second thing we notice about this rest, seeking rest. If you're unsaved tonight, that rest is salvation rest for you. But if you are saved tonight, I'm talking about seeking peace, seeking rest, maybe in something that's going on in your life as I speak. Number 2, let's notice the place that you find this rest. Notice with me in verses 4 through 8 of our text here, the Bible says, "And it shall be," now this is Naomi speaking to Ruth, "when he," Boaz, "lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet, and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me I will do. And she went down unto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn, and she came softly, uncovered his feet, and laid her down." Now, I don't know if you see what I saw right there, but we see here the place to find this rest. Now, in these verses, Naomi is instructing Ruth where she was to go to potentially find this rest that she had been talking about. She tells her to mark the place where Boaz would lie down that night and then uncover his feet and lay down at his feet. Now, he would then tell her what to do. Therefore, that night, Ruth did exactly what her mother-in-law told her to do. She noticed where he lay down that night, and she went in softly and took her place at his feet. By the way, if you ever hear somebody saying that she's trying to be in aura with him, they don't know a hill of beans. Somebody say amen right there. We understand that this is nothing immoral here. This is simply her way of introducing herself, and she's getting ready to ask him to be her kinsman redeemer. We know that there's nothing going on that's shaky here, because in verse number 11 he says, "We all know you're a virtuous woman." You think he'd be telling her that if she's doing something immoral here? I don't think so. Matter of fact, I know she wouldn't. And I'm telling you here that she, in all of this, we see that the place for Ruth to find this rest was at the feet of Boaz. And I'm telling you, the sinner's place of rest, if you've never been saved tonight, the sinner's place of rest for their eternal soul is only found at the feet of the heavenly Boaz, whose name is Jesus Christ. In other words, a sinner will never find this eternal rest in his good works. He'll never find this rest in his baptism. He'll never find this rest in anything else. The only place to find this eternal rest is at the feet of Jesus Christ. He is the only one who can save. He's the only one who ever has saved, who is saving, and who will ever save. There is only one way to heaven, my friend. The Bible says in Isaiah 45, 22, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else." Jesus said in John 14, 6, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus didn't say, "I am a way, I am one of many ways." He said, "I am the one and only way." Just like the only place where Ruth could find this rest was at the feet of Boaz, in the same way, the only place we can find our rest eternally is at the feet of Jesus Christ. But if you are saved tonight, remember, I'm trying to apply every point in two ways. Number one, to salvation and those seeking that rest. Number two, to we who are saved seeking rest in any given circumstance. I'm telling you tonight that even if you're saved and you have eternal rest, but there's something going on in your life that you need God's peace, you need His rest, you need that quietness in your heart and soul. Do you know the place that you find it is still the same where you found salvation? You will not find that rest in a pill or a program. You will find that place of rest only at the feet of Jesus Christ. Psalm 121:2, "My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." Ruth placed herself at the feet of Boaz, and he would have to do the rest. It's the same way in our lives, my friend. If you need to be saved, get to the feet of Jesus Christ. If you need peace as a child of God, get to the feet of Jesus Christ. That's the place of this rest. Then there's a third thing. Number three, not only the preparation for this rest and the place of this rest, but number three, let's notice the petition for this rest. Notice in verse number 9 what happens. Let's skip back to verse number 8. "And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid, and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet." Might scare you to death too, amen or not. In verse number 9, notice it says, "And he said, Who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." In this I see the petition that she's seeking this rest. Now you say, what exactly do you mean here? Well, we see in verse number 8 that it's midnight. I almost went with the title. It's not original to me, but I almost went with the title, The Midnight Meeting. What happened here is at midnight, Boaz wakes up and scared half to death because there's a lady laying at his feet. He doesn't know who it is. Now you understand something here. Let me put this to the side. You know, there are several important night scenes in the Word of God. Brother Bob's been talking to me about this. And it's interesting, right here it starts coming out a little bit. There are several important Bible things that take place at night. This is a great series for some of you preachers out there, just to kind of whet your sore a little bit here, a little bit, whet your appetite. Let me just give you some of these things that took place at night. The Israelites left Egypt at night. Stay with me here now. Jacob was lying down at night when God spoke to him. Nicodemus came to Jesus at night to ask him about salvation. Paul and Silas was singing the praises of God at night when the earthquake took place. And I'm talking about the prison doors opened up and the Philippian jailer was about to kill himself. Paul called out and said, "Do thyself no harm. We're all here." He came in trembling, and as a result, he and his whole family got saved. That took place at night. And I'm telling you that one of the greatest scenes about nights in the Word of God is found right here. This is one of the greatest scenes in the entire Word of God. I'm talking about wonderful night scenes, and yet right here is another important scene taking place at night that we can all learn from. He asked her who it is, and she responded humbly by saying, "I am Ruth, thine handmaid." And I'm telling you, after she identified herself, we see her giving Boaz her petition. She requests for him to spread his skirt over her. See, this was her request for him to claim her as his own. We can see this. Don't turn to it, but just listen to this verse in Ezekiel chapter number 16, verse number 8. "Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord, and thou becamest mine." You know what Ruth is asking? Here, she is asking Boaz. Whenever he wakes up, doesn't know who it is, he's scared to death at midnight, and he looks down at her and he says, "Who are you?" And she says, "I'm Ruth, thine handmaid." And she said, "I've got a petition for you, Boaz. Spread your skirt over me." You know what she's saying? Oh, it was music in Boaz's ears. Boaz is in love with this girl, my friend. We see this later on, but what he's waiting on was her to simply ask him a question. He was waiting on this question when she said, "Spread your skirt over me." You know what she's saying? She's saying, "I need a redeemer. I need somebody to redeem me. And I'm coming to you. I'm asking you. I want you. I want your life. I want you in my life. Will you claim me? Will you accept me? Will you take me for your very own?" Man, what a petition. And I'm telling you, when she does this, it's interesting to note that the word skirt here means wing. Just like she had come to trust under the wing of the Almighty, she is saying to Boaz, "I want to come under your protection. I want to come under your wing. I want you to claim me for your very own." And I'm telling you, the only thing it took from Ruth, are you listening to me? Ruth didn't have to earn her way with Boaz. Ruth didn't have to work her way. She only had to ask him. That's all she had to do. She only had to petition him, and she knew that she was at the mercy of Boaz. And my friends, in the same way, if you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, He is waiting on your petition for Him to be your kinsman redeemer. You're at His mercy. You cannot redeem yourself, just like Ruth could not redeem herself. You only need to see your need of Him and ask Him to forgive your sin and be your Savior. Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." But you know, in the same way as well, if you are a child of God, I hope you follow me now, both ways I'm applying it. In the same way, if you are a child of God needing rest in a certain situation, the Lord Jesus wants you to come to His feet and simply ask Him for it. Now, that doesn't mean He's going to give it to you today or tomorrow, but He simply wants you to stay at His feet and keep petitioning Him for it. The Bible says in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." You know what Christians are searching for today? They're searching for the peace that passes all understanding. They're searching for the rest. That in the midst of turmoil all around them, there's a quietness inside of them. I'm talking about this over here is blasting and noise is coming over here and all of this turmoil and racket and chaos. In the middle of that, you can have quietness. You can have a settled spot. You can have a home. You can have rest. But only if you petition the right one. The third thing we've noticed about this rest is the petition for it. Then there's a fourth thing. I'm doing pretty good. Stay with me now. I'm not going too fast, am I? I didn't get an amen, so maybe I am. All right, number four. The fourth thing we notice about this rest, talking about seeking rest, seeking a settled spot, a home, quietness. We see the preparation for it. We see, secondly, the place for it. We see, thirdly, the petition for it. Number four, we see the promise of it. In verses 10 to 13, notice how Boaz reacts. And he said, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter. For thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning. Inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. For now my daughter," now he's calling her his daughter, but not because he's her father, folks. But he's identifying his older age. He's given us a little bit of insight here that he is much older than Ruth. So when he's saying my daughter, it's like saying young lady. I'm old. Now, I don't know what Boaz looked like, but it doesn't really matter, does it? I hope not. It says, "Now my daughter," verse 11, "fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. Now it is true that I am thy near kinsman, howbeit there's a kinsman nearer than I." I'm not going to deal with that here because we'll deal with that in the next chapter, God willing. And it says in verse number 13, "Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman well," in other words, if he will, good, "let him do the kinsman part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth. Lie down until the morning." Now here's the point I'm trying to make here. Thus far in this chapter, we've seen Naomi seeking rest for Ruth, sending Ruth to the place where she could find it at Boaz's feet. Ruth has gone to Boaz, and she is now laying at his feet, and she petitions him to be her kinsman redeemer. Now get this point here. Try to put yourself in the place of Ruth. She's done all she can do. She has approached him. She has petitioned him. Now it's in his hands. What will he do? What will Boaz do? Now listen to me, folks. He could do anything he wanted to do. Yet we see in these verses how that as soon, now get this now, this is a great thought here, as soon as Ruth claimed Boaz, he claimed her. As soon as she petitioned him, he didn't hesitate. He didn't sit back and make her start sweating. He didn't sit back and say, "Let me think about it overnight." He didn't sit back and say, "Let me think about it and pray about it for a week." No, as soon as she claimed him and asked him, he said, "All you say to me, I will do it." What a promise here. What a promise. We see that in verse 11, we see him calming her fears. He said, "Fear not." And then he promises that he would do what she had petitioned him for. He then informed her of a nearer kinsman that he would check with. But if he would not redeem her, then he would. Now, let me just say this. I told you I was going to deal with it in the next chapter, and God willing, I will. But let me just make this statement just in case I go a different direction. This nearer kinsman is a picture of the law. The law is the nearer kinsman. But we'll see in chapter 4, the nearer kinsman said, "I cannot, but you can." And I'm telling you. Now stay with me here a little bit. What a promise Ruth had from Boaz at this time. Listen, you want to tell you what the promise she had? You're going to get redeemed, Ruth. Because he said, if the nearer one redeems you, he's going to redeem you, and that's fine. But if he doesn't, I promise you I will. Amen. You say, what's that matter? It mattered a whole lot to Ruth, I'll guarantee you that. And I'm simply trying to tell you tonight that right here, he promised her that he would not reject her. He promised her that he would receive her by redeeming her. Praise God, Boaz accepted Ruth. What a glorious truth we have on display concerning those, number one, under this now. Remember, I'm applying in two ways. Those who are seeking eternal rest. You ever met somebody who said, I'm too bad? You don't know what I've done. I'm too bad for God to save. Here's my response to that. John 6:37, all the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast them out. I'm telling you, Jesus didn't come to save good people, folks. He came to save filthy, rotten sinners. Somebody may be here tonight and say, you don't understand what I've done. You don't know what I've thought in my life. You don't know the actions I've made. Can God save me? That's why he sent Jesus Christ. He sent him because the promise of rest is when we come to his feet and we recognize our unworthiness and we realize we cannot redeem ourselves, and we petition him and say, will you redeem me? Will you forgive me? Will you accept me? He's not going to pray about it. He's not going to put you off. He will immediately say, I'll take you just like you are. Aren't you glad that's how God saves people? You listen, that's how you got saved, folks. You didn't come into God's presence saying, God, here I am. What a treasure you have. Take me for your own. No, if you came to God that way, you're lost. I'm telling you, you had to come to God understanding that you cannot redeem yourself. And yet Jesus Christ is the only one who can. And what the law could not do, Christ did with his death, burial, and resurrection. And he says, if you come to me, I will save you now. Now. Secondly, we apply this to Christians. There's another glorious truth on display here with the promise of rest. And that is this: if you're saved tonight and you're going through something that you need peace, you need rest, you're seeking rest in that given situation, he has promised if you come to him, he'll give it to you. He didn't put a timetable on it, but he promised he'd give it to you. Matthew 11:28, what Jesus say? Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, if you come to me, I promise you, I'll give you rest. That's what he says. You know where we get in trouble? We want it now. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We want it now. God never said now. He simply said, come to me, and I'll give it. This is the promise of rest. There's a couple more now. Stay with me now. I'm doing very good on time. I hope you're not looking at your watch when I say that, all right? Number five, we're just looking at this rest, seeking rest. If you're lost, that's seeking eternal rest in heaven. If you're saved, it's seeking rest in everyday life, something that you need peace in, contentment in, quietness in. Number five, we notice the provision of this rest. Notice in verses 15 to 17, also he said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her, and she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, who art thou, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, these 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. Now, once Boaz gave Ruth his promise, was that not enough? What was Ruth asking him for? What did she ask him for? Put your skirt over me. She's asking him to accept her as his wife. She's asking him to take her under his protection. But here's something that you, just a casual reading, just casually reading it, you're going to miss it. You know, the point is this. He not only gave her what she asked for, he gave her what she didn't ask for. Isn't that an accurate picture of Jesus? I mean, you come to him saying, I need peace, I need peace, I need peace. And he'll do that. And then he'll say, oh, by the way, while you're here, bring your veil, hold it out. I've got some things I want you to go home with. All I'm saying to you is that when Ruth got back to Naomi, she mentioned to her how Boaz told her verse number 17. What did he tell her? She said, he said unto me, go not away empty. Now, who's Boaz a picture of, folks? Who's he a type of? He's the Lord. He's a type of Jesus. Which means when you come into his presence, I'll guarantee you on his terms, I'm talking about in a way that pleases him, I guarantee you, you will never go away empty. I guarantee it. You say you're getting high pitch. I know it, and I don't really like that much, but I guarantee it. I'm simply trying to tell you tonight that if you need peace, Jesus Christ will give you that. But through it, he'll also provide your everyday needs. He will provide you with what you need. See, Boaz not only calmed her fears and gave his promise to redeem her, but he also provided for her immediate needs. You know, in the same way, we see that those who come to the Lord seeking rest for the soul in salvation or seeking rest in an everyday situation as his child will not only receive that rest, but will also go away full with your needs met. He always sends us away full and not empty. He will constantly satisfy our desires, but will also provide our needs. Here's what I'm saying to you. Before you got saved, by the way, if you've never been saved, I trust that you'll trust Christ tonight. But we who have been saved, and we've already made that decision to trust Christ as our Savior, did God not give us more than salvation, my friend? Now, if he just gave us salvation, would that not be enough? If he just, listen to me, saved us and then turned us loose, turned the devil loose on us, turned everything loose on us, and said, I've saved you, you're coming to heaven, I'll see you when you get here, that would be enough. But he didn't stop there. When he saved you, he also gave you himself, my friends. He allows the Holy Spirit of God to come take residence inside of your body. And through that, he has promised in Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. My friends, he's already saved us. What else can we ask for? And yet he said, I'm not only going to save you, bring something to carry some things home with. Because I'm going to pack you full. This is why Psalm 23 starts out, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You know what that means? That means if I need it, he will provide it. I will not be wanting as his child. Amen now. 2 Corinthians 9:8, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Number one, we've noticed the preparation for this peace. Number two, we have noticed the place for this peace. Number three, we've noticed the petition for this rest or peace. Number four, we've noticed the promise of this rest that Boaz gave. Number five, we've seen the provision of this rest. And he not only promised to give her rest, he also packed her full of other things that she needed. Then there's a sixth and final thing. This kind of brings everything together, if you will, but there's a thought here that comes out that we all need to learn. And that is we see the provider of this rest. Now, this has kind of been the underlying theme all the way through this message, but I thought this would be a great way to end this. Notice closely the wording in verse number 18. Then she said, now she here is Naomi. Ruth has come home, told her exactly what happened. Then said she, this is Naomi speaking to Ruth, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. Now I want you to notice closer the word sit still and then he have finished. Here's the emphasis. Once Ruth came back and told Naomi what had happened with her midnight meeting with Boaz, Naomi simply tells her, sit still. In other words, Ruth had made the request, but now she must sit still because someone else must make the redemption. In this, we see Naomi encouraging Ruth that it is now out of her hands. and into the hands of Boaz. She must wait and see what will happen. Now, in the same way, I'm getting to apply this now, salvation first, saints second. In the same way, we can apply this to those who are not saved. By God's grace, by the following. Now get this, folks. True Bible salvation is not achieved. It is received. In other words, when an individual comes to the Lord and asks Him to be their Savior, it is the Lord's duty and His job. He is the only one who can do the redemption. You can come to Him and make the request, but you cannot redeem yourself. It's not in your hands. It's impossible. And we see here that only He can save. We cannot save ourselves. Salvation is completely the work of our God, who sent His Son to die for our sins, be buried, and rise again for our justification on the third day. And just as Ruth could not redeem herself, but rather sit still and rely on Boaz, even so we cannot save ourselves, but trust in the finished work of Christ on Calvary. One of the greatest examples of this is the leaving of the Israelites from Egypt. And when they got to the Red Sea, remember the Egyptians, their past is chasing them. And the Red Sea's in front of them. Remember what God told Moses and Moses told the people? He said, stand still and see the salvation of God. That is a picture of Bible salvation. You cannot do it yourself. Somebody comes to God and says, wait a minute, I've got to get baptized. Hang on a minute. Either Christ's redemption work is complete or it's not. And if I have to get baptized to go to heaven, then Christ's work was not sufficient. It was only part of it. I'm telling you that there's nothing you can do and I can do to go to heaven when we die. If we go to heaven when we die, it'll be because we have made the request at the feet of Boaz, and Boaz did the rest. Amen. This is one way we apply this. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. John 14:6, I've already quoted it. Jesus saith, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Spurgeon put it this way, it is not thy hold on Christ that saves thee, it is Christ. It's not even thy faith in Christ, though that be the instrument. It is Christ's blood and merit. In other words, it takes faith to be saved. But if He did not die and shed His blood, we have nothing to have faith in, folks. Now I'm telling you, we can apply this right here, that the provider of rest, it's not us. It's the Lord in salvation. Then secondly, how can we apply this to our life? If you're saved, if you've trusted Christ, how can you apply this to your life? Well, we can apply this to we who are saved. And yet maybe you're going through something tonight. You're saved. You know you're going to heaven, but you're in turmoil. And you need peace. You need that rest. You need that settled spot. I'm telling you, the answer's still the same. Sit still. Sit still. And put it in God's hands. And I'm telling you, once you've sought the Lord and laid out your petition before Him, many times there is a waiting period where the blessed Holy Spirit whispers, sit still. Sit still. And let God move. There's a chorus that goes, stand still and let God move. Stand still. Standing still is hard to do. When you feel you've reached the end, He'll make a way for you. Stand still and let God move. Isaiah 50 verse 10, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of His servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Now get this now. Who is among you that feareth the Lord? Hope many of you say, that's me. That obeyeth the voice of His servant. I hope you say, that's me. That's me. That walketh in darkness and hath no light. See how it changed right there? Who are you who fear me, God says? Who are you that obey the voice of my servants? He's saying, who are you who are mine? And yet even though you fear me and you obey, who of you is walking in darkness and you have no light? Here's what he said. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. The Bible says in Lamentations 3, 25 and 26, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him. To the soul that seeketh him, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Psalm 37, 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Micah 7, 7, therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Psalm 46, 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Psalm 37, 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. He shall bring it to pass. Is there something that you have been seeking rest in as his child, and it seems as if the answer has not come? Does that mean God lied to you? Or could it be that he's saying, sit still. Trust me. Wait on me. I give you this Bible example and I'm coming to a close. Here it is. You're listening well. God bless you. Stay with me just a few minutes. A classic Bible example of this is the ultimate healing, if you will, of the raising of Lazarus. Whenever Jesus heard for the first time that Lazarus was sick, now he already knew about it, but if you remember, this is all in John chapter 11, that when Mary and Martha called for Jesus, their brother was only sick. That's it. He was only sick. And if you remember the story, the Bible says Jesus stayed right where he was for 2 days. Then he went, and when he went, Lazarus had died and had been in the grave for 4 days. In other words, his answer to them coming to his feet, if you will, spiritually speaking, was sit still. Wait. See, the ultimate thing about this, where's this word ultimate coming from? Whatever. The thing about this is that back in this day, and many of you have heard me say this, but some of you haven't, this makes this portion of Scripture come to life to you. In John chapter 11, back in this day, it was being taught that when somebody died, the spirit would hover around the body for 3 days trying to get back in. When the fourth day came, the spirit realized there was no hope and it took its flight. Now, we know that that's not how it happens. The Lord knew that too, but could it be that he knew it was being taught? So when he steps into town, the body's been in the grave 4 days. All hope had vanished. All hope had gone. Mary and Martha weeping. And yet you know what he did. He went and he said, roll the stone away. What did Martha say? Martha said, he stinks by now. And he said, did I not tell you that if you'll believe, you'll see some things? I'm paraphrasing. So they took the stone away and he said, Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible says, he that was dead came forth. Now what's the emphasis there? Put yourself in Mary and Martha's position. Some of you are in that position tonight. There's something you want God to move. I want it done now. I've got to have it. I can't take this. I mean, Lord, please come. Remember what Martha said when the Lord finally came? She said, Lord, if you'd only been here and not died. Mary came and said the same thing. Lord, if you'd only been here and not died. See, they wanted him many days before, you see. But his answer to them, because he knew what he would do. You with me now? He knew what he would do. He always knows best. And his answer to them was not, okay, I'll be there right now. No, his answer was this, they're calling for me. Send this answer back. Sit still. Sit still. Trust me. Trust me. Don't run out. Sit still. And maybe that's the two words that you leave with tonight. When you don't know what to do, and it seems like there's no light, And yet you fear God and you're obeying His servants, but you feel like there's no light anywhere. Could it be that God's saying, sit still. Stay upon your God. Trust me. I'll be there soon. I don't know. Seeking rest, do you need it? If you don't need it, you will. And you need to learn these principles. Let's all bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for your goodness to us. Help us now to apply this in a way that you see fit. Your heads are bound, your eyes are closed. In this chapter, we see Naomi seeking rest for Ruth. She instructs Ruth to prepare to approach Boaz. And Ruth comes at midnight, lays at his feet. And Boaz accepts her and assures her in her petition. And once she made the request for his rest, she was told to sit still and wait on what Boaz would do. As they begin to play through softly, in the next chapter, we'll see what happened next. But I wonder tonight, what is God speaking to your heart? Here's what some verses say. Hebrews 4:9 says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Yet in Revelation 14:11, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest, day nor night. I wonder tonight, do you have the rest in salvation that you need? Have you trusted Christ? Have you really confessed your sin to the Lord and understand that you can't save yourself and He's the only one that can? Have you ever trusted Jesus as your Savior? Have you know you're saved? You don't hope so, you don't think so, you know so. You are saved, you're born again. You have experienced the eternal rest in salvation. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? You say, Jody, I know I'm saved. I know I'm a Christian. I know I'm born again. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, Jody, I can't raise my hand to that, but I'll be honest with you, I'd like to. See, my friend, heaven is a real place. Hell is a real place too. The lake of fire is a real place. Somebody says, I don't believe it. Doesn't matter what you believe. Because your beliefs do not change God's truth and God's facts. The Lord loves you so much, He sent His Son to die for you. Have you trusted Him? Have you trusted Him? Is there one tonight we're not going to call you out, not going to embarrass you, not going to come to your seat? I promise you that. I wouldn't embarrass you for anything in the world. Or is there somebody tonight say, Jody, pray for me. I'm not saved. Pray for me. If the Bible's true, and it is, I'm not going to heaven. But I'd like to go. I really would. Is there one like that? Would you raise your hand? Is there anybody at all like that? You say, Jody, pray for me. I'd like to be saved. Anybody like that? Anybody at all? Let me ask you this question. If you're saved tonight and you know the Lord, do you need rest? Is God speaking to you? Hey, it could be in the death of a loved one. It could be a personal crisis. It could be a marital crisis. It could be something going on at work. It could be something just going on in your own mind. It could be a health scare. It could be any. But you say, there's something that I need peace. I need rest. Have you be honest and say that. You say, Jody, I need it. I need this rest. I want it. I need it. I've got to have it. Be honest. Raise your hand in the air with mine. You say, this is me. I've got to have it. I need rest. I need it. I need it. Yes. Yes. God bless you. Let me ask you this question. How many of you say, Jody, I'm a Christian and I've been seeking God about something, and what the Lord's speaking to me about right now is stand still, sit still, don't move. Just sit still. Trust God. Stay upon me. Don't run out. Stay still. Have you be honest and say, Jody, God's speaking to me in that way. Be honest. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Yes, many, many hands. You got your hand raised. I want you to look at me up here. You can put your hands down, but I want you to look right up here. The reason I'm saying that, and I only do that a lot of times when there's a lot of people responding, that's a lot of people. I don't know what it is that God is having you sit still about. I don't need to know. But I know this. God had you in mind when he laid this message on my heart. Whatever it is, He never promised He would remove that. Now He can, but He never promised He would remove it. And he never promised that he would come today. He's only promised you come to me and you sit still and trust me. I promise you I will come. But my timing is always best. We all know how hard that is, don't we? Don't you want to know now? Wouldn't you like to know now? Sure. Could it be that God has us right where he wants us? Will you trust me? Will you sit still? Will you keep coming to me? Keep petitioning me. Don't quit that, but sit still. Sit still. I'm going to invite every one of you to come to this altar. Said, I have to? No, that's between you and the Lord, but I want to invite you to come. Talk to God about it. If nothing else, just say, God, thank you for speaking to me. And give me the strength to sit still. Let's all stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, take it, use it in a great way. Bless now in this invitation call in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's beginning to sing. Some have already started. You come as he sings. Leave your place. Come and say, God, help me sit still. If you need to come and be saved, come now as he sings.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strange.
Softly, folks are praying. If you're standing, I'd like you to look this way. Folks are praying. The Lord is dealing. I understand the Lord is dealing with other people. All I'm saying to you tonight, I'm not going to re-preach this message, but people are praying, seeking God. This song says it all. God is simply saying, turn your eyes upon me. Even when you don't understand, even when you can't connect the dots, you don't know what the next step is. You don't know what's around that corner. You're struggling with that. When you go to bed, it's there. When you get up in the morning, it's there. It's struggling, 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 struggling. How do you deal with it? How do you get rest? How do you get peace? How do you do it? You recognize you can't provide it yourself. That's how you do it. And you go to the feet of Jesus and you tell him, spread your skirt over me. Oh, put me under your wing. And help me to sit still. Trust you. Believe you. Amen. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Just keep playing there. We're gonna conclude in prayer here in just a moment. There's people going through things listening to us tonight that we don't understand. Folks praying at the altar tonight who are going through tremendous trials, troubles. Preachers sometimes feels helpless. But the fact of the matter is, I am helpless. The only thing I can do is say, I don't understand, but I know somebody who can help you through. And one day when we see his blessed face, be worth it all, even when it doesn't seem like it. Seeking rest, my friend. Hope you got it today. May the Lord help you with it. Brother Roger Cox, sir, if you wouldn't mind to dismiss us in prayer, sir, please. Yes. Hang on just a minute. Brother Ira Hay is needing to meet with all the senior saints. I'm not going to tell you who that is if you consider yourself one. If you're a senior saint, a meeting down here to my left, your right, quickly, just real quickly for a brief meeting. Thank you. Brother Cox, sir, please.